I'm Rebecca Kent, the Special Projects Editor at EG, and I'm here with Ed Brunet and Stephen Tozer from Labab, which is a rather fancy kebab restaurant on the top floor at Kingly Court in London. I hope I've described that okay, but I'll leave you two to do that. EG has just partnered with Davis Coffer Lions to hold Property Chef, the annual Property Chef competition in Labab. In your restaurant, we've got, 20-something restaurant specialists, retail agents and leisure agents who have come together to create the perfect cocktail and the perfect kebab. And it's great that you hosted us, by the way, but I thought it might be an interesting opportunity to have a chat about Labab and how it all came about, and just get your views as restaurateurs and talk about the kind of spaces you like to occupy or what your visions are for the restaurant, if that's all right. So, good morning.
Hi, Rebecca.
Or are we afternoon? No, it's still morning. It's still morning.
About, yeah.
Do you want to give me a bit of the backstory about Labab and how you guys came together to start the restaurant?
Yeah, well, Stephen and I were at university together, and we, like most British students, discovered the kebab in rather salubrious circumstances. But we're both massively into food and long held the belief that it was deeply, deeply misrepresented in much of this country. And so after university, once I'd had a stint as a professional chef and Stephen had been in strategy consultancy for a few years too, we kind of got together and decided actually, it wasn't such a stupid idea to go and give this a go as a business. Where we've tried to put our own spin on it is introducing a real sense of provenance and gastronomy to our food. So we really take care to source ingredients from the best producers and suppliers, using only free-range and wild meats, a lot of organic vegetables. Almost everything is seasonal, short of the spices themselves. We make our own bread in-house. And also we wanted to put another spin on it, which was to use local ingredients. Certainly in London, in fact, we're probably most spoilt of anywhere in the country for some good traditional kebab houses. But there does tend to be this sort of universality to what the kebab comes with, which we thought was a shame, because if you reach out into the traditional kebab lands of the world, the traditional dishes there are very much shaped by what local ingredients are good. So we have done that in our own way here, using British produce. I suppose quality and seasonality of ingredients and locality of it are really important factors for us.
So tell me about the locality, Stephen. Why is Kingly Court, why did it appeal to you as a place to locate the first restaurant?
I mean, Kingly Court's obviously an amazing place to open a restaurant. We feel very lucky to be in here. It's, for us, a big part of our redefinition of kebabs and the kebab house is actually about bringing kebabs into central London. Soho is pretty much without any kebab presence whatsoever. So,
I find that really hard to believe.
But it's true. Okay. It's true. You can pace the streets, and it's not a place where you can find a kebab, and it's certainly in a restaurant context. We thought that part of our mission to, I guess, redefine the kebab in people's minds is redefining the location of kebabs. Soho is definitely London's epicenter of casual dining. Casual dining's evolved incredibly quickly here in the last sort of 6 years, and it's now the place that people come to eat delicious, affordable food in London. And so, given that that's a key part of our brief as a restaurant, is delicious, affordable food. We felt that Soho would be a natural place for us to start, and Kingly Court is a very densely populated area of restaurants which people love to come and shop around, and everyone's in a kind of similar price bracket here, and it just felt like a kind of perfect place for us to start.
And Ed, you were saying earlier that it's also a great place because of the fluctuations of people. You can sort of share the load with the other restaurants in the complex.
Yeah, it's sort of, I think, perhaps unique in London, having this concentration of places at similar price points, each offering each offers a very distinct cuisine. That there's such high demand many times that it just can't be satisfied by everyone. But on occasions where you might be having a little bit of a blip for whatever reason, there's this awesome sort of spillover from other restaurants which can't fit everyone. They come knocking, you have free space. And they're like, well, you know, I can get a table here. So they fill it up. And as an operator, that's actually great because it just smooths out fluctuations. Little dips just are not felt nearly as much. It's one of the myriad benefits of being here. The other thing is this concentration is actually, you know, it's not a negative competitive environment. Everyone pulls together, and by working together, we have created, you know, as a whole, Kingly Court, a place where demand is much higher than we can actually service. People come to Kingly Court and then decide where to eat. And that's been achieved by everyone kind of pulling in the same direction and cooperating. It's a great atmosphere in here.
So the idea of Kingly Court being a destination, a place where people can come first and then sort of stumble upon and, you know, perhaps people already know, you know, the restaurant here, that's quite key, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, people definitely travel to us. I mean, going in up on the second floor, we thought, you know, there aren't many restaurants out there on the second floor anywhere except outside of sort of shopping malls. But we certainly have a lot of people coming specifically to visit us. But as Ed says, there is this amazing thing where you have nowhere else in London has this density of restaurants because there's a stack of three restaurants on all sides. And so it's a brilliant place for people to come and just kind of wander around and figure out what they want to eat. And as Ed says, I think although we do get a lot of destinational trade for Labab specifically, that Kingly Court is a destination in and of itself, and people can sort of come to Kingly Court and decide what they're eating later.
I think that's the fire alarm going off. Just our luck.
Fortunately not ours.
Tell me about some of the challenges you had finding the right space. How long did it take you? And what are some things that maybe our agent listeners can learn from in your experience in looking for space?
I think it's incredibly difficult for restaurant operators now to find the right property. Property is such a huge piece of the puzzle for making a restaurant work. And, you know, with the development of the restaurant industry in London over the last few years, it's been so rapid. It's heated up so much that I think property is probably the single biggest obstacle to any sort of aspiring restaurateur or expanding restaurateur. In terms of tips for property agents, I think it's really, really important for agents to be working to match concepts with the right property. You know, what works for one concept won't work for another. Some concepts can stand outside of high footfall areas, outside of sort of densely populated, super urban parts of London and work incredibly well. Others need density, they need churn, they need footfall. And I think there's a real matchmaking exercise to be done to make sure that people are distributed into the right sites. I think, you know, working with landlords to help them curate estates well and create a good tenant mix and blend is clearly really, really important. I suppose landlords and tenants are relying on agents to do that properly. Kingly Court is an amazing case in point in that, you know, the landlord and has managed to create this very, very complementary offering which has given it destinational force. And there are a lot of new developments flying up around London, and if they're let as well with the right mix, they can do incredibly well, and tenants can do incredibly well in there. And I think that matchmaking exercise is a really, really important part of the agent's job. Not to say, oh well, you know, this is a property, you can trade in it, so come let it. It's more complex than that. There's a little more nuance to it. You know, does this concept work here? Is the population in this area right for your concept? You know, is the price point right, etc., etc.?
Ed, what are the plans for Labab? What's any expansion plans?
We'd like to. I mean, you know, we are quite small here, which is fine. Obviously, as a new restaurant, you'd much rather have a space that's oversubscribed than, you know, an enormous area that you're struggling to fill. But yeah, I think we would, at some stage, we would like to grow, spread our wings a bit.
Where would you go next? Any provisional ideas about where you'd like to be located?
Well, what's great about London is I think you have many different options. Yeah. We don't want to roll out a cookie cutter replica of what we have here. We're very much, I guess, a passion project, which try and make a little bit of money out of. So we would get the kick out of doing something distinctly Labab, but not the same. And I guess that, coming back to what Stephen said about different properties being right for different concept, it would depend on where we zero in on our next concept. You know, if it's somewhere perhaps more approachable and casual and higher volume, then yeah, we'd probably need to look somewhere pretty central, quite prime to make that thing work. Or we could push on. We have an amazing kitchen team, which we're very lucky about. You know, we could push on with their gastronomic abilities and maybe go higher end with kebabs, which I don't think is really being done in London. And that could probably stand going into a more residential area, but perhaps with still a relatively affluent catchment. So nowhere in particular is the short answer. Depends what we decide to go and do next.
You started, am I right in saying, did you start as a pop-up or you did something pop-up-ish?
We did, Ed and I did a little bit of street food together when we began, and then we did a couple of pop-ups, but we always saw ourselves as a kind of fundamentally a restaurant concept. It's a bit counterintuitive because you would think that, you know, kebabs would really naturally lend themselves to street food, but what we're doing at Labab is a little bit, there's a little bit too much cooking, a little bit too much mise en place going on for it to work that much in street food. And so, especially with the team that we assembled, we felt it was kind of a priority to get ourselves into bricks and mortar as soon as possible. So we did a little bit of street food. We did Curb and a couple of other street food markets. But it was very limited, and we were always kind of hell-bent on getting into a restaurant as soon as we can, because that's really what we needed to gastronomically express ourselves. And so, you know, thankfully we got there fairly soon. As I say, the property search is always a slog, and it took a while, but it didn't take that long, and we were very lucky to get this place before too long and get open as a restaurant.
So when looking for your next destination, how can that experience of looking for property be easier for you?
I think what we've learned is that in London right now, you cannot go out to market saying, you know, we have a specific brief, we need to be this size in this place. You have to be opportunistic. It has to be sort of like ground up. And so what we're doing is, you know, kind of, we've always got half an eye out for properties, because as Ed says, we have some ideas about different versions of this concept that we could put out there. But we're looking at what properties are available and thinking about exciting things that we could do with those properties, rather than saying we're going to open another carbon copy of Labab that just doesn't interest us, and saying in order to achieve that we need X thousand square feet in this location. It just feels like a kind of inorganic way to do a restaurant. Actually, property being the biggest, most difficult piece of the puzzle, you kind of have to wrap everything around that. And so that's how we're approaching the property market.
Do you think that's a view shared by other operators?
I think some other operators are. I think the carbon copying thing is maybe on the decline, because, you know, consumers in London now are so spoilt for choice, you know, that there are so many amazing restaurants that have opened up. The idea of one place duplicating itself is maybe going out of fashion a little bit. And so I think if restaurateurs are thinking about doing another place, and they allow themselves some flexibility, then that actually helps them engage with the property market in this way. So I think other people are thinking about, you know, how can I adapt my concept to a different neighbourhood, to a different part of London, to a fundamentally different kind of location. But I can't speak for other operators, you know. There are a lot of very, very smart people out there, a lot of much smarter people than us who are doing things in their own way. But I, you know, from the conversations that I have, I think people are tweaking their concept to match sites.
Okay, and Ed, finally, just last word on Property Chef. You were judging the morning and everyone's cocktail making and kebab making sort of abilities. Any new recruits in there, you think?
Yeah, there were definitely. I think there were a couple of 10 out of 10s on the kebabs and the same on the cocktails. So we've left our business card with some people and said, you know, if they ever get bored of their current jobs, then the door's open.
What's your idea of the perfect kebab? Take us through it.
This is embarrassing. So it would be a lamb adana, which is you know, minced lamb, which is spiced up in a traditional way, and turkey with some pecan pickles to offset the richness of the meat. And then this is where it gets really dirty, and probably not one. It's not how we put it to our customers. I put chips in my kebab, plenty of hummus mayonnaise, and we have this. We have a sort of tomato and date relish, which we serve with our sausage roll and a bit of that too. That is definitely in the style of a late night greasy kebab, but made with our own ingredients.
It sounds far better than any late night kebab I've ever had. Mouth watering. Well, Ed and Stephen from Labab in Kingly Court, thank you very much, and all the best with the venture.
Thanks very much, Rebecca. Cheers.